As you get older, you don't have to get senile and cold and hard and bitter. But I'm glad you can have the joy of the Lord living on the inside. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Well, it's come time for preaching. Brother Tom Gillum. My, how the Lord used him yesterday morning in the service. And I'm anticipating the same this morning. Been a blessing to camp meeting and is a blessing. We love you and Miss Beth. It's good to have you. Preach to us, brother. Amen.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text again in the Psalms. We appreciate what we've heard in preaching and singing these days. I really do like a sermon that I can steal a thought or two from it. And but Brother James is, I couldn't steal nothing from it unless I spend 20 years with the highway patrol. And that ain't gonna work at all. I have enjoyed the messages this morning and thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again at camp meeting. We began here yesterday looking at the last five Psalms in Book 1. Many have called the Psalms God's hymn book, and the last five hymns of Book 1 is hymns 37 through 41. They're all committed to David and some things in his life, and it seems like from hymn 37 and verse 25, he wrote it when he was an old man. All five of these psalms had more days behind him than he did in front of him. You say, well, why was you drawn to these five? Because I'm old. And I wanted to see what he had to say about these subjects. And on yesterday, we looked at Psalms 37, the hymn of David's delight. Often old people are not really delightful. And I want to be delightful, don't you? I appreciate Sister singing God Walks the Dark Hills. I want to deal with hymn number 38 this morning. It is the hymn of David's darkness. If I had a subtitle this morning, I would entitle it The Day the Lights Went Out at David's House. I don't know if God's ever cut the lights out at your house spiritually. If he hasn't, put this message on the back burner and put it on low just to keep it warm. You'll move it to the front burner and it won't be long. Hymn of David's Darkness. Darkness in Strong's Hebrew Concordance is defined as a lack of discernment or understanding or direction in a time of distress. Coming to a point where you say, I just don't know what to do. David has arrived there. He calls it in the title. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said he believed the titles were as inspired as the text. Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. He's an old man, and he's looking back sometimes when the lights have gone out. He says in verse number 10, he says, my heart panteth, my strength faileth, and as for the light of mine eyes, they're gone. God's cut the lights out on me. David's hymn of darkness. There's only two reasons why God would ever cut the lights out on you spiritually. One, sin and correction or conviction in your life. The other, sanctification and conforming him to the image of God's Son. You say, how could I know which one it is when the lights go out? This is extremely deep. You may need to have a doctor's degree in theology, but I'm going to give it to you this morning. Ask him. He'll be glad to tell you why he has cut the lights out on you. Feels like he's a million miles away. David in this psalm will remember physically and spiritually when the lights for him went out. He was left in darkness. Seems like in this text he's sick, he's crushed, he's feeble, he is broken. There's no friends. Everybody is aloof from him. All of his lovers have withdrawn from him. There's nobody helping him. He don't know what to do. As we begin to unpack this psalm this morning, I would draw our attention to David's response to the darkness. I find in my own life, the response will work for either one of the reasons why the lights went out. Either because of sin and conviction or sanctification and conformity, the same response will happen. I call it the cry of response. It's in the first two words of the text. Oh Lord, is a good response. Amen. When he cuts the lights out on you. Brother Smeltzer preached here several years ago, when God puts an O in your prayers. Yes, I have found in my own life that I never really get through to God until he puts an O. Yes, sir. And usually he never puts an O until the lights have gone out. And you're at a place where you just don't know what to do. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible that David would use that phrase in Psalms 38 five times. Oh, Lord. Because it is the grace of God, his unmerited favor. He who was rich for our sakes became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, could hit the mother lode and be made rich. Because if you're rich spiritually, it don't matter if the lights are on or the lights are off. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thine hot pleasure. That little root rebuke, to chasten, to bring down judgment, to bring it down in a rage and indignation with a snorting breath, to bring down blows and hot displeasure. David said, Lord, I know I deserve what you're going to give me. I deserve for you to bring down the blows. And you and I, even if we don't have any sin in our life, just because of our stinking, Adamic nature, we're filthy at the core. We're dead at the core. We're dark at the core. Just because of that, we deserve God to bring down his judgment hard upon us. But David says, oh, Lord, would you cut me some slack and show me some mercy? The cry of his response. But I see in the text the confrontation of the response. David said in verse number 4, he says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head. You know, if you can ever get in water and it never gets above your nose, you can make it. But if it ever goes over your nose, it's too late. And David says, my sin, They're not at neck level anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, they're not under my nose. He said, they done swooped clear over my head. Well, David, what in the world are you going to do? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. Oh, Lord, is the response that David will have in the middle of this Adamic nature and the sin which he is remembering that has been acted out in his life. He says it's a burden that is too heavy for me to carry. It is here that he's dealing with sin and conviction and confrontation. But in verses 4 down through verse number 8, he would deal with the other that many of us confront. It is when God cuts the lights out for sanctification and conformity. He says in verse number 5, my wounds stink and are corrupted because of my foolishness. I'm troubled and I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore and broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. You ever given any thought as to why you're falling apart physically? One of it is because of your birth certificate. You're supposed to. I used to call my mama every day, and when she was in the nursing home, and she said, Thomas, she said, I feel like my body's falling apart. She's 80 years old. She gets so mad at me. I said, Mama, why don't you go check your birth certificate? That's what's supposed to happen to old people. David's an old man. Body's falling apart. God will use that greatly if you're old this morning to sanctify you and conform you to the image of his son, because after a while it'll get so bad living in this house that you're going to want to move out of it. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Well, what am I going to do when my body starts falling apart? This is awful deep. I don't know if some of you have gotten it yet or not. Oh, Lord! It's the only response David had. There is not only the cry of response, the confrontation of response, but there is the conformity of response. He mentions in our text, verse number 3, he says, because of my sin, he uses it singular. Verse 18, he says, I will be sorry for my sin. Oftentimes when sin is mentioned in the Bible, there's no S on it. It's talking about our Adamic nature. I did not know if you noted it or not, but all of you out here this morning, including me, are rotten. I know you think you're good, but you ain't. Right at the dead center, you're filthy. You're rotten to the very core. And because of that, God must cause everything around that core to rot away. That's how come you have to keep putting that left guard and right guard on you. You're falling apart right where you're sitting. They said that over 1 million dead particles fall off of us every hour. Gracious, if you've been here since 10:30, ain't no telling what you're leaving on that pew there. At your house, the dust in your house, they said 75% of the dust in your house got your DNA in it. Son, you falling apart right where you're at. How come? Sanctification, conformity. He wants you to get tired of that house you're living in and desire to move. Well, preacher, what am I going to do while I'm falling apart? Oh, Lord. Amen. It is the only response that David could muster up. But I see not only David's response to his darkness, but I see David's retribution for his darkness. And David goes back to remembering the day when the lights went out of his house. His was because of sin. Wasn't sanctification. He says in verse 13, but I, as a deaf man, heard not. And as I was a dumb man. I love that little word, dumb. It's a little word, fool, foolish. He says that I opened not my mouth. Then I was as a man that heareth not, in whose mouth or no reproof. Silly folly, all sins that are foolish begin in the heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. Sin always begins in the mind of the heart, begins as a thought. Foolishness moves from thoughts to feelings or passions, things we want that God says we can't have. They end up in our doings. They become actions. Isn't that what happened to David? David should have been out the days of battle, and he was up on the roof looking around and saw a lady taking a bath. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. And he had a thought. I tell you, preacher man, when you have that thought, you better run for the hills. God's fit to cut the lights out on you. He's going to test you, see what you'll do. David's thoughts went to a feeling, passion. It is nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong, for a man to desire a woman and a woman desire a man, as long as they're married. You got to feel it. If he'd have just stopped right there. But it moved into his doings, and he brought her to the house. My, what a good time they must have had. But then the lights went out. The baby died. Had one of his sons rape his sister. Had another one of his sons kill his brother that raped his sister. Had his son hung in a tree. Poisonous darts put through his heart. Old David, when they heard Absalom was dead, oh, Absalom! Wonder why David got so upset about David dying like he died. Because he knew that the Bible said, curses is a man that hangeth in a tree. He knew now that he had a son in hell that would be there forever. How come? Because of a night of a good time, and the lights went out. Hey, David, what are you going to do now? Oh, Lord! Yes. It is the only response, whether it's sin or sanctification. Oh, Lord. David's retribution from the darkness, a retribution of a foolish heart, but there's the retribution of a foolish horror. David's family would have made a good Jerry Springer show. We're not talking about some Johnny-come-lately redneck from North Carolina, Georgia. We're talking about the Old Testament fair-haired child, a man after God's own heart, and his whole family is a mess just because of one night. And God cut the lights out on him. But notice David's repentance of the darkness. He says in verse number 18, "For I will declare mine iniquities." This morning, if you have sinned publicly, you need to publicly confess them. If you have sinned in private, you may get by with confessing them privately. David says, "I will be sorry for my sin." That little word sorry is a brokenness accompanied with many salty tears. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, "A man is near the end of his troubles and darkness when he has come to the end of his sin with much tears." You know, preachers are getting in on this one night of adultery. I love what O.R.G. Lee said about a preacher preaching again that has involved himself in a night of fun. He said he can preach again when his repentance is more well known than his sin was. I'd say that'd take a long time for that to happen. What am I to do, preacher, if I have involved myself in that? Oh, Lord. Could I close this morning with David's repose in the darkness? I notice in the text, by crying out to the Lord, David found a repose this morning in a repose of perception. Prayer. He says in our text, in verse number 15, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope." Oh, he begins to see a perception crying out to the Lord that he is a God of hope this morning. Confident expectations that God can see me through it, even if it has been because of sin this morning. God can help you with the consequences this morning of your sin. But you're going to have to cry, "Oh, Lord." There's a perception. But oh, he reposed himself, he rested himself in prayer. He says, "Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." Well, what's the big deal if God hears your prayer? If he hears, you get what you ask for. That's what 1 John 5 says. You pray according to his will and he hears you. You have what you've asked for. David has come to the place where he's broken. The lights are out. He wants to see the lights come on again. Oh, Lord, there is the perception in prayer. He's going to rest in it. He's going to repose himself not only in the perception in prayer, but he's going to repose himself in the presence and the promise of God. He says in verse 21, "Forsake me not, O Lord." Now he's going to add to it, "Oh, my God." That's Elohim, the one who can make stuff out of nothing. He said, "God, I've made a mess out of my life. Would you come in here and take this bunch of nothing and make something out of it?" He says in our text, "Don't forsake me, O Lord. May I sense your presence." He says in verse 22, "Make haste to help me, Send me some well-timed help, God. Oh, I'm glad for the times in my sanctification when God's been conforming me to His image. I'm thankful for His well-timed help. Wife and I were sitting at Scotty's Saturday morning, and we were thinking about the times that God has helped us in our sanctification. We was an associate pastor over in Columbia, South Carolina, years ago, back in the 70s. And the pastor, I won't call his name, he's dead now. I don't know which way he went, up or down. He's one of the meanest men I ever met. But if the anything I learned while I was there is how to not do it. How to not do it. But we were the associate pastor. We were the choir director. We were the bus leader. We were the youth leader. And we were the principal of the school for $100 a week. And he said, bless God, I don't want your wife working. I want y'all full time here. Well, we were starving to death. Had two kids. And I remember one night in our sanctification and conformity, we had come to the place where there was nothing left in the house to eat. Everything was gone. The next morning, we were going to have to ask the blessing over an empty table with two kids. And the only thing we had was, oh, Lord. It's about 10:30 at night, and we are fixing to go to bed when there was a knock at the door. There's an old boy and an old gal there at the door. They both had glasses that was as thick as coke lids. They went to that church, and as far as I know, they ain't never spoke to me. I didn't even know they liked me. They said, preacher, we were sitting over there at the house, and for some reason, we don't know why, but God told us to clean out our freezer and bring these four. I'm not talking about Walmart sacks. I'm talking about them big paper sacks. They got two in each hand. And then he had to go back out to the car and get four flats of eggs. Yeah. So we don't know why he told us to do that. I do. Oh, Lord. You listening to me? Oh, he had cut the lights out. But the Bible says in the latter part of verse 22, oh Lord, ruh-roh, lights have come back on. they flickered for a moment, and now they come back on it real bright. He says, he's my salvation. He said, the deliverer has done got here. Oh, the lights have done come back on. I got to wondering if David's prayer was really answered. If you got the Bible there this morning, I don't want to confuse you with the Bible, but Psalms 119. Now, David has lost a baby. Baby died. Son raped his sister. Another son killed his brother. Another son hung in a tree. And this is what David said about all of it. Verse 71. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good for me that that baby died. It's good that my son raped his sister. It's good for me that my son killed his brother. It's good for me that God hung Absalom in a tree. How come, David? He said, that I might learn thy statutes. He says, because all of that happened, he said, I got deeper into this book. Brother James, I got closer to him.
And the closer I got to him, he done cut the lights back on. And gracious, I felt somebody hugging me. And when the lights come back on, it's him. He's hugging me.
Preacher, what am I to do? Lights go out because of sin or sanctification. I love what the songwriter said. When darkness veils his lovely face, I'll rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood. There you go, Brother Joe. There's that blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then and only then is all my hope and stay. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I tell you what, you better be careful when the lights go out. Isaiah 50 said, be careful in lighting your own fire, trying to make your own light this morning. It is dangerous stuff. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I wonder this morning if because of sin, because of sanctification, lights have gone out. You say, preacher, it don't seem like the lights have gone totally out, but they've been flickering the last few weeks. I tell you what, before they finally go out, I think I would. Oh, Lord, we're standing. Jordan and them are coming this morning. They're going to play or sing something, whatever they're going to do. Maybe you're walking the dark hills. The lights are out. What am I going to do, preacher? Oh, Lord. Five times David cried that. Then he cried and connected it. Oh, my God. And lo and behold, the lights came back on. Maybe you need to come. Now in his presence. Maybe you have remembered some times that the lights have gone out on you. God cut them back on you because you scrooched close to him. Maybe you just want to thank him. Maybe you got a family member that's in the dark. Maybe you want to pray and ask God to put, oh Lord, in their heart. They cry out, get some help. While they do what they're going to do, altar's open. You come.
appreciate the faithfulness of God's man to preach what the Lord put on his heart. We need that kind of challenge today. What are you going to do when the lights go out? I do not want it to be because of sin. We better guard ourselves. We better guard our testimonies. We better guard our name. But it may be because of sanctification, to close the gap, bring us closer to Him. Our heart needs to be right. You remember that little maid? In Naaman's house. And do you remember Elisha's servant Gehazi? That little maid had all disadvantages. She had no home, separated from her family. All alone. Gehazi, on the other end of the spectrum, had every advantage. He had been with the prophet of God. He had seen God's power, God's authority. But when all is said and done, the little maid is the one who triumphed. And Gehazi was the one who failed. The reason that we triumph or fail is not our environment. Environment is good, but that's not the secret of it all. You see, you got to have it in your heart. When you've got it right in your heart, everything can go wrong, and you'll still rise above it all. But when your heart's not right, you can sit in the best church, hear the best singing, hear the best preaching, and falter and fail. Brother Tom, I appreciate the preaching this morning. What a blessing, what a challenge to our hearts and our lives. Preachers, help us to set a good example. Be faithful, be true. Serve Him with all of your heart. And when you get down to the end of the way, you'll not have any regrets. Bless His name. He's good to us. It's been a good morning. How I appreciated these young men who preached. Appreciate Brother Mike and Brother Tom. Lord.